This is a Willets Point Shea Stadium bound 7 express train. The next and last stop is Willets Point Shea Stadium.
Yes, it is the Subway to Shea podcast. Anthony Rivera here with you, talking about all the news and happenings surrounding that team from Queens, the New York Mets. Episode 128 live from the Subway to Shea studios in my office. Huge shout out, huge thank you to Jack Oliver, aka Jolly Olive of Shea Station, John Boy Media, for joining me last episode to give an early look at the position players on this Mets roster as we get on the road to Port St. Lucie for spring training. And you're probably doing it already, but make sure to follow him and Shea Station on all social media platforms, as well as subscribing on YouTube. Now, I've been looking forward to this live for quite some time. I am joined by two talented content creators. I was recently a guest on their show, The Interstate Mets Report, and now they are joining the Subway to Shea podcast, CP of CPNY Sports Network and Nelson Amish Country Mets fans. Fellas, how are we doing, my friends?
Fantastic. Thank you for having us. I appreciate it, Ant.
Yep, doing well. Thanks. Thanks so much for the opportunity to be on your show.
Awesome, guys. Awesome to have you. And it's always great talking with you guys, whether it's on Twitter, chat, or X, whatever you want to call it now. These podcasts are always great to, you know, kind of get through some of the news, kind of bring people up to speed on what's going on. And originally, we were going to do this on Thursday, but with the big breaking news that happened this week and an actual Mets signing, we had to move this up to Tuesday. Adam Ottavino's back. The Mets have re-signed Adam Ottavino to a one-year $4.5 million deal, which was reported on Saturday. It's official today. He turned down a $6.7 million player option earlier this offseason, and that option did have some deferred money, so I think he makes out better now than he would have if he took that player option. Now, he wasn't sure where this team was heading. He just turned 38 and wanted a chance to win, and he was doing some broadcast work with SNY as a guest on Baseball Night in New York, which kind of led me to believe that he was going to return in some sort. I don't feel like you just do that and then go off into the sunset to some other team, but it didn't seem like he wanted to leave. Now, Chris, Nelson, we will break down the numbers shortly, but what was your initial thoughts on the signing from a fan's perspective of bringing back Adam Ottavino?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take that one here first. I honestly was very naive to that fact. I'm not going to lie to you. All offseason long, I've been talking about potential relievers on my channel and their links to the New York Mets. Obviously, with Adam Ottavino opting out of that initial $6.7 million deal, I was very shocked at surface level, right, with the 2023 that he had turned out for the New York Mets, as well as just the age factor. So I was very shocked, but it was sort of peculiar to see him go on SNY a handful of times talking about sort of his situation and the upcoming season with the fact that he had just opted out. So the writing, I feel like, was always on the wall for us to know that he was, or a potential reunion was possible. But at this point, like I said, I am happy that he's back. I do have some slight concerns. And like you said, we'll get into the 2022 numbers versus the 2023 numbers. We'll get into all of that. I do have some slight concerns in terms of if the Mets go ahead and try to utilize him as that setup man for Edwin Diaz moving forward. But nonetheless, I think that this is a great start for the bullpen. And I think we'll talk about maybe an additional arm or two to bring in here after Adam Ottavino to try to solidify this bullpen. But like I said, happy he's back. And most importantly, in what he said, he always saw himself coming back to Queens. And like I've been saying this whole offseason, especially with the debacle that was Yoshinobu Yamamoto and all these stars trying to go to the West Coast, we as Mets fans want and deserve guys that want to be here in Queens. So shout out Adam Ottavino for that aspect.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go next. I guess we shouldn't be shocked that he came back. It's just it was surprising because he opted out. And then, like Chris said, he was on SNY and he kept saying all these things about he wasn't sure about the future of the team and this, that, and the other. And then he ends up signing back for less money. So he ended up screwing himself, to be honest, when all things are considered. So I don't know. It's interesting to see him back. I mean, I'd rather the bullpen with him, if we weren't going to sign anybody else, then at least have him in there in the fold. I think we might be better off with him not having to, well, hopefully, if we injury luck is on our side, he doesn't have to play as big a role as he did last year. Last year, obviously, he had to step in and close at times. So, yeah, I mean, I don't mind the move. I think a lot of fans just, they think back to last year, and yes, last year was a debacle. I mean, the guy still pitched to a 3-something ERA, which isn't horrible. I realize his FIP was a lot worse, and he did look worse. Let's be honest. He looked worse in 2022 than he did in 2022. I think a lot of people remember the constant stolen bases, and that leaves a bad taste in their mouth. And obviously the walks. I mean, his walks basically doubled last year. So all things considered, obviously you hope he pitches more like 2022 Ottavino, but for the price, I can't argue with bringing him back on a one-year deal, and hopefully he can solidify the bullpen. Hopefully we can add one more guy to the mix as well, but I'm sure we'll get to that talk here.
Nelson went through some of the stats, and I'm going to bring up the screen here with Adam Ottavino's stats over the last 2 years here. And 2022, 65 and two-thirds innings pitched. He was 6-3 with a 2.06 ERA, 79 strikeouts. He gave up 48 hits, 15 earned runs, 6 home runs, and 16 walks. You compare that to 2023. He pitched a few innings less. He was 1-7, a 3.21 ERA, which in our standards of what we saw last year from the bullpen is a pretty good ERA, because everyone else was either late fours, early fives. We even had some sixes and sevens in the roster. So compare that to everybody else. And he was one of the better people out of the bullpen. Not great, but he was one of the better ones. 62 strikeouts. So his strikeouts went down. He gave up 2 less hits. He gave up more earned runs, almost half the earned runs. He gave up 1 more home run. But all those home runs that he gave up this season seemed to be big ones. And it cost him a lot of games. And then the big problem is the walks. 29 walks in 2023 compared to the 16 walks he gave up in 2022. And, you know, where he struggled and how he can improve. We struggled, you mentioned it, with the base runners, right? Why? Why did he struggle so much with base runners? And it's not just, you know, these guys getting hits, but like we said, the walks. The walks are important, because those walks with Adam Ottavino felt like he gave up doubles. And it sucked to see him struggle through that. And, you know, initially, I thought it was the new rules. But according to Baseball Savant, Otto had 3 violations all season long. And it said that 2 of them were from the pitch timer. So that wasn't the big issue. His issue is his windup and his stretch. That's the problem for him. And I think it would be best for him this season, for sure, if he limits the walks, and if he does walk batters, try not to throw to first base, because once you throw over twice, they already get that automatic, you know, start off. So maybe not go so much to trying to hold the runner on, and do more of, you know, just working on your pitch, trying to throw it down. Now, what can he work on with his pitches? What would you guys like to see him improve on this season? And, you know, you look at his pitch selection over the 2 years, just look at his years with the Mets. In 2022, he used his sweeper 452 times, held batters to a 165 batting average. You go to 2023, and he used his sweeper almost half the time less, and the batting average was 212. Now, I don't know what other pitches, like his sinker, which was his second pitch, then he now used a little bit more, and everything went up in batting average for him. His four-seam fastball, which he only used 57 times, he probably should have used more. He held batters to 71 batting average, way under the Mendoza line. So what do you guys think, looking at the stats here, what can Adam Ottavino improve on as we head into the 2024 season?
For me, I think it is starting off with that fastball, right? We saw about a 7% clip in terms of the difference in usage from the two seasons in 2022 to 2023. I think an underrated aspect of Adam Ottavino in 2022 when you saw him. And he even did this a little bit in 2023, but getting ahead of batters, and when he's ahead, a lot of people are expecting that big breaking sweeper. And there were a handful of times in terms of what I can remember right now that he just blew the fastball right by him, because those hitters are so dead set on seeing that movement that 95 right down the plate is going to just blow right by them. So I think that you're right. The awareness of each pitch in terms of the actual count to throw it in is something that he could definitely improve on. And his just overall command. I dropped a video on my channel today talking about Adam Ottavino and some of the nitty gritty numbers. The walks per nine, it took a huge leap from 2022 to 23. And if you look at the way he holds runners on, it's not pretty. It is not pretty. He was the second worst overall pitcher in terms of net bases prevented, only ahead of Noah Syndergaard. And the leads that these base runners are getting on Adam Ottavino, he ranks dead last in. It's about 6.1 feet in terms of these base runners' leads on stolen base opportunities. So they're getting not only huge leads, but huge jumps at the plate. I think he needs to get back to his bread and butter, use that sweeper a little bit more. We saw a 15% discrepancy in those numbers. We were talking about it here before we went live, and I think he'll be fine. Now, like I said, this is where I get a little bit weary in terms of getting out of Adam Ottavino into that setup role. I'm happy that he's back, but in higher leverage situations, especially when you have Edwin Diaz coming back off such a major knee injury, we need to have a lockdown eighth inning. If he walks said batters and continues that trend in 2023, and like you said, those walks turn into automatic doubles with how bad he really is at holding runners on, Carlos Mendoza is not going to have the opportunity to utilize Edwin Diaz for 4 or 5 out saves the same way Buck Showalter did in 2022. So that's my main concern. Although I do think Adam Ottavino can learn from what we just saw in Baseball Savant, I'm already sure this pitching lab and all the coaches, Jeremy Hefner, are getting on him about the difference in pitch usages, which was the sweeper and the four seam fastball predominantly between 22 and 2023. That's what Adam Ottavino can improve on. And I'm not really sure at this point in his career, being 38 years old already, we're going to see a major difference in that time from the mound to the plate in terms of how big of a leg kick he really takes and his ability to hold runners on. I think that part of the game is going to remain consistent. At this point in his career, it's like teaching an old dog new tricks. I'm not really sure that's going to really resonate with him, but we just have to work with what we have. And Nelson said at the top of the stream here, getting him back on a $4.5 million deal is pretty huge for the Mets. That shows what their budgetary sort of confinement is in the reliever market and what they like. And as we keep talking about these other relievers going in, then we'll talk about what they have left to work with. But I think that we can see a lot of improvement from 2023. And like you said, what is the primary goal here? What is the primary consensus we can take away? Walks didn't necessarily hurt him that bad in 2023, as we all imagined with that 3.21 ERA. It has a little bit of correlation, those two metrics, but it wasn't the end all be all. It shows that he can pitch with runners in scoring position effectively and get himself out of jams, which is something that I really hope can continue as well in 2024. We'll see with Adam Ottavino.
Before I get to you, Nelson, yeah, the walks have to somehow get limited like they were in 2022. But, you know, like I said, his pitch selection is going to be very, very important. And I don't know if I'm going to bring it back up again. I don't know if from 2022, some of the pitches that really worked for him, like the changeup, which he threw, I want to say, was it 4 out of the 6 pitches, kind of was the same in 2023, but he threw a little bit more. He threw from 75 pitches and the batting average was 083. He then upped that to 142 and he had about a 122 batting average against. Still successful. His toughest pitch that he's had the hardest time with last season was the it's the cutter. That's where he struggled most with, and I wonder if this season he limits that, so maybe there'll be a little bit of a change in the pitch selection. He completely got rid of his slider. If you see on this thing, he really got rid of his slider last season, and that pitch was totally gone in 2023 just for using the sweeper there. But Nelson, what would you like to see improved from Adam Ottavino this season?
Well, I mean, he's not ever going to be quick to the plate, right? So if guys get on base, more than likely they're going to get on second. With the new rules and the fact that he can only throw over a couple times, it's not the clock that's hindering him. It's just the fact that he can't do the normal, I'm going to throw to first base 5 billion times like he could in the past. So he's got to, like you guys said, lower that walk rate. I'm looking at his cutter numbers. that was by far his worst pitch last year. Batting average at 318 against, 727 slugging. I mean, he only used it 15% of the time, but I don't want to see him use it at all if that's the kind of numbers.
And 2022, that was his best pitch. Even though it was limited, it was his best pitch. So I wonder if when they went over last offseason, if they discussed, you know what, let's see a little more of your cutter. They had a hard time with it. Let's see a little bit more of it. But it like you said, it just didn't work.
Yeah, no, it didn't. I mean, he jumped from 5% usage to 15%, and it just didn't work last year for him at all. That was by far his worst pitch. His next worst pitch was the sinker. He threw that at a 37% clip, which was also higher than the year prior. So it's interesting because there was a lot. He did change his pitch selection a lot from year to year. You wouldn't think he would, given the fact that he did have a lot of success in 2022. So you would think you would have just tried to stick with what got you there and stick with what works. But yeah, maybe because of the rules, he felt the need to change things up a little bit, or just getting himself in certain situations, he ended up having to use pitches that he wouldn't have used the year prior. I don't know. Again, the fact that he was pitching in higher leverage situations, maybe that changed things, him having to close. But yeah, I'd like to see him use that fastball a little more. It dropped down to 5% usage last year, which is interesting because, again, if kind of like going back to the cutter that he didn't use that much in 22, but he was successful with. He was very successful with the fastball last year, but he barely threw it. So I'd like to see some adjustments. I'd like to see him and Hefner get together and really figure out what the issue was. But again, it's not like I just think people just get skewed by the way the season went and everything, because it's not like he was our worst bullpen arm by far. Like you said earlier, we had guys pitching to 4, 5, and 5 ERAs. He still threw to a 3.21 ERA, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Again, the FIP numbers don't translate necessarily. That was a little higher, but he, if you look at it, our bullpen as a whole, he was probably one of our best relievers. That's a sad thing to say, but it's just the facts. So hopefully with Diaz back in the fold, with him maybe taking on more of a 7th, 8th inning role than the 9th inning role, hopefully that helps him out. I really think our bullpen is better than people are giving it credit for. I don't think it's great, absolutely, but I think it's not nearly as bad as some people are making it out to be.
Like last season, our bullpen is only going to be as good as the starting rotation going 5, 6 innings. If we don't go 5, 6 innings, it's going to be a problem, because I went on Baseball Reference and kind of looked at Adam Ottavino's splits. At the beginning of the season, he was used a ton. And we all know no Scherzer, no Quintana, no Verlander for most of the season. And the pitchers were going 3, 4 innings. So Ottavino was used constantly. And, you know, when I look at his stats monthly and his ERA, he pitched best in July and August during a time where the Mets made a whole bunch of trades. They got rid of their closer at the time, which was David Robertson. So he really kind of held down the bullpen for that time being. Now, September, I guess he was exhausted, and I think he had an ERA over 4. But I do feel like he can hold his own. Like you guys have said, you know, he's 38 years old. There's not much you can change when it comes to how he holds base runners on, his windup. The thing is going to be pitch selection for him. And we kind of broke it down for you with all the stats and with all the numbers, and trying to make Adam Ottavino the best he can be, you know, since 2022, and to really be that, you know, 1-2-3 punch when you talk about the end of the bullpen, because Edwin Diaz, Brooks Raley, and Adam Ottavino, that's a solid back end of the bullpen. And if they can add another guy, that would be a lot better. How are you guys feeling about the back end of the bullpen? I know, Nelson, you just, you know, mentioned that you don't seem to think that it's as bad as people think, and I agree with you on that. I think CP agrees. I saw him nod earlier. But that back end of the bullpen, I think it's still really good. What do you guys think?
I mean, we saw it in 2022. We know that what they can produce at their highest level, right? 2022, Adam Ottavino and Edwin Diaz. I want to see that come back into fruition in 2024. And honestly, a little bit of a nugget, and I think an underrated aspect of why those pitch changes might have occurred in terms of the pitch selection. Let's not forget who was behind there, behind the plate in 2023 versus 2022. Francisco Alvarez still adjusting to the MLB. And I understand, you know, there are certain situations situations where the pitch might be called from the dugout, but these players more often than not are calling their own pitches. And I understand that Adam Ottavino has the free rein to inevitably shake off anything that he may not like, but Francisco Alvarez and Adam Ottavino, and Francisco Alvarez and any pitcher that appeared for the Mets in 2023, it was a little bit of a learning curve. So that's a little bit of an underrated aspect that we didn't so much touch on, but I definitely feel has an impact on what we saw with those Savant metrics. But I feel good about the back end of the bullpen. We'll see with a couple names that we still have here. What this signing ultimately does in terms of flexibility for Carlos Mendoza is it allows him to either deploy, like I said, I don't know if I'm totally comfortable with Adam Ottavino being that setup man, but I'm also not comfortable with Brooks Raley being that setup man. I've said that numerous times on my podcast, on my channel, but all things considered, having more options than not is definitely going to sort of be a strength for Carlos Mendoza in year one as manager. So having either of those options, barring any unforeseen changes in terms of the back end signings, Brooks Raley or Adam Ottavino could have that flexibility for Carlos Mendoza in order to be that setup man. We'll see who he chooses to go with. If I had to guess, opening day setup man is going to be Adam Ottavino, but things certainly are subject to change, especially if you get another lefty in maybe a potentially Aaron Loop in that reunion. We'll talk about that here in just a second as well. Things can change throughout the course of the season. We'll see. They're set up for success right now. That's what I will say.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we're in as bad a shape as people think, but I also think we could use another arm, maybe not necessarily for seventh or eighth inning, but another lefty, like Chris said, is would be very valuable. I see in the comments here, Jorge Lopez is an interesting addition, right? Like, he's a guy that's reunited with the bullpen coach that we hired, that they worked together on Team Puerto Rico in the WBC, and Jorge Lopez in the WBC was very good. So there's a few guys with relationships with that bullpen coach, actually. So maybe there's something there. Maybe they can figure something out. Lopez's numbers last year weren't great, but he does have pretty filthy stuff if he can harness it. There's obviously, quite a few. I can't even remember all the minor league signings we made in the bullpen. There's quite a few guys that you never know that could turn out to be a lot better than we expect. There's also guys there that we'll probably never hear from again. We'll see them a couple times in spring and they'll get lit up and we'll be like, who was that guy? And you never know also with minor league pitchers that pop up. There are a couple of bullpen arms in the minors that could make noise this year for us. So it's a fluid situation, right? Like, the roster is obviously going to continue to change throughout the season. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are this and that and the other is going to happen. I would like to see a lefty to solidify things. Other than that, I'm pretty comfortable with a Diaz, Ottavino, Raley back end. I want to see Drew Smith as little as possible. But
we all do.
I'm really hoping we're not seeing Drew Smith in the seventh and eighth inning of ball games. But yeah, man, it's a wait and see thing. And like you said, it's not just the bullpen. We need our starters to help the bullpen, right? If we keep getting like last year, it felt like for 3 months we couldn't get a guy to throw over five innings. It was ridiculous. And if you keep doing that to your bullpen's not going to survive. So we can't have that this year. We need guys that can give us six, seven innings. Obviously, it's not going to happen all the time. The game's changed. But if you can get your starters to alleviate some of that workload, then your bullpen's going to be better just by default, really. So that's where I'm at with it. The team as a whole is just not as bad as some are really making it out to be. But see, we haven't even played a game yet, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we got to get our guys to spring training. Let's shout out the chat here, because these guys are bringing up, some maybe in-house options. Frankie T talking about Bryce Montes de Oca, if I said his name correctly. He's a lefty out of the pen who had an injury last season and quite possibly could be an option out of the pen if they don't go after a lefty. Sanders Cancel says Nate Lavender should be given a chance to make the team. He's a name that we heard a lot about during the middle of last season. Kenny Fry mentions Sean Reed Foley. I feel like Sean Reed Foley has been so up and down. Fits better as that, fifth, sixth inning guy that you may need a couple of innings out of. If he could just find some consistency, because, we saw the good of Sean Reed Foley and we saw the very bad of Sean Reed Foley. So we'll see where he fits into this roster as the season goes on. And Maureen brings up, also David Peterson, who's due to return sometime in June. He'll probably probably also be in the bullpen. So he works either way for me. You either throw him in the bullpen or he's an option as a starter. But either way, he's shown that he can work that way. And even though he got a couple starts and only went three or four innings, they were a good three or four innings towards the end of the season. So he might be able to work when it comes to coming out of the bullpen. So let us get to, well, did we talk about Aaron Loop?
We didn't talk about Aaron Loop yet. And I think a lot of people don't want to talk about Aaron Loop, but I think that in relation to that Martino report, like I said, a lot of people like to give him crap, and so do I. I think the way he reports on the Mets is very biased in comparison to how he reports on the Yankees. I think that's a well-known fact, and I have no problem saying that on this stream. But nonetheless, I think that of all the reporters that we've been seeing, he has been pretty spot on from what we've seen in his recent reports over the last couple of weeks. So, like I said, whether it's that $10 million range, give or take a couple million of their budgetary constraints from a few weeks ago. Also, foreshadowing that Adam Ottavino signing, we saw Hector Neris saw a sign with the Cubs on the morning of that Saturday for 1 year, $9 million with the Cubs. And Martino took to Twitter and saying that it's clear that both New York teams, not only the Mets, but the Yankees, are not interested in relievers at that price point, being $9, $10, $11 million for 1 year. So I'm not positive if a Wandy makes sense. I see him getting upwards of that $9-10 million that these other relievers are getting due to his sample size. I see Ryan Stanek, even though he had a down 2023, probably making the same. So we have to talk about realisticness as well when we talk about a potential signing. I think that if we definitely need, like the consensus here is we need another lefty, why not see if there's another spark in terms of reunion with Aaron Loop, obviously having that historic 2021 season. I understand that reunions don't really go as planned most of the time, even though I've been a big advocate of Justin Turner, who is off the board now. I'm shedding a little bit of a tear in terms of the DH category. But nonetheless, Aaron Loop, if he can find some, I guess, untapped potential. We saw a lot of things went wrong for him in 2023. If he can get back to that 2021 Aaron Loop, or even in 2022, where he had a decent season with the Angels on that contract, that could play very well for the Mets. But like everybody's saying in these comments, we're bringing up Sean Reed Foley, we're bringing up Austin Adams, we're bringing up Kyle Crick, Bryce Montes de Oca. These guys, this bullpen's getting a little crowded, right? We have a lot of front-end bullpen guys. For me, if we're going to make another signing, it would have to be to solidify also the back end of the bullpen to give Carlos Mendoza a lot of flexibility. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about Wandy Peralta. That's what we're talking about when we talk about Ryan Stanek. Those guys aren't sixth-inning guys. Those guys aren't early bullpen guys. Those are also capable set-up relievers. So I think that we're also, you know, we're playing a dangerous game here in terms of adding too much, because we've seen David Stearns already this offseason early and often prioritize those depth pieces that are going to be appearing at the early stages of the bullpen. And I think that we're going to get a shot and seeing a lot of those guys by committee, right? If a couple guys don't pan out, if Drew Smith, right, doesn't pan out like he hasn't in at all over the last couple seasons and leaving those 97 mile per hour meatballs over the plate, guess what? He's out of here. We've got options available to replace these guys now, which I think is a very underrated aspect in what David Stearns was doing early on. Like your Andre Scrubs, a lot of people like to just dig at all these signings. These are reliable depth pieces that we can see by committee get called up from the minor league. Leagues, especially on these minor league deals. But like I said, that's neither here nor there. There's a lot, I guess my whole rant and my whole spiel here is that there's a lot of factors at play here in terms of what we might potentially see from here on out. And honestly, as much as I want another reliever, I wouldn't be shocked if the Mets are done after Adam Ottavino with how many guys this team has. And someone here in the chat also said, what happens to Joey Lucchesi? I think he starts off as the sixth man in the rotation, but when you have a Tyler McGill also needing a home, presumably not going to be in the rotation. When you talk about David Peterson coming back midway, he could potentially slot into that bullpen and be that second lefty as well. But like I said, I know this is a long-winded answer. I still would like to see Aaron Loop in a potential reunion deal because it fits the mold of that cheap option as well with what he produced in 2023. And it's very complicated, Ant. We're trying to come up with these answers, and this is why they pay David Stearns the big bucks. That's what I'll tell you.
Once again, I'm here with Chris of CP New York Sports Network and Nelson, aka Amis Country Mets fan. Make sure you hit the chat with your socials, guys, and pages. Let everybody know where to follow you.
Yeah, I'm at CPNY Sports all around. You can find me on YouTube at CPNY Sports, dropping videos on the weekly, not only with my True Mets Talk podcast, but also with Nelson here from Amish Country Mets Fan on our Interstate Mets Report, going live every Friday afternoon. And when the season comes up, we'll be going live on Tuesdays as well for a total 2 days a week. If you happen to be a Knicks fan as well, doing a lot of content on there, but Instagram and X at CPNY Sports is where you can find me. I thoroughly appreciate it. Thank you.
CP, you brought up Justin Turner. And the deal is done with the Toronto Blue Jays. 1 year, $13 million, and that came out from John Morosi. $1.5 million in roster and performance bonuses. So there will be no homecoming, no reunion for the Mets and Turner. It would have been a nice story. It would have been nice to see his leadership. But, you know, I've brought this up before, and I had to take Turner out of this slide, which I had originally had him on. So these are the DH hitting options that the Mets have been linked to. That's all we hear about. They're linked to this guy. They're interested in that guy. And JD Martinez still out there. Jorge Soler still out there. And even, you know, Gio Urshela, because we got to start thinking about the bench as well. I don't even know what this bench is going to be looking like. So a Gio Urshela to kind of help out at third base with Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos may be an option to help out throughout the entire infield as well. These guys are what's left. And then you look at the in-house options that was mentioned last week on my podcast. Mark Vientos, who's the big name, DJ Stewart, obviously. And I also mentioned Starling Marte, because if he can't be running on the outfield and if he doesn't help out with run prevention, the only way to use him is at DH. So that's another possibility. I'm asking you guys here, we'll start off with Nelson first. Are you signing a DH, or is it now or never with Mark Vientos?
I mean, I've said for months I want a DH. I just don't think I'm going to get it at this point. I was also on the Justin Turner train, although I am weary of reunions. And if we're going back to the Aaron Loop thing, I want no part of that 6 ERA. So I'm out on that reunion. But Justin Turner would have been nice. He could have played third base for us at just fill in if we needed it. I don't see him having the year he had last year, but I don't think he's going to fall off that drastically. I think he would have been a big help to the lineup. JD Martinez, Jorge Soler, both could also be that, but I don't know. I mean, JT signed for 1 year, $13 million. You're going to tell me that either of those guys are going to get less than that and we're going to sign them? I don't see it at this point. So to me, the writing is kind of on the wall. It looks like Vientos is the guy. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that my guy Tone, aka Mets Trucker, has been a proponent of Matt Chapman, and he was not on your little graphic there, but he wants Matt Chapman to be our third baseman, and he's still available. So I guess the dream isn't dead for Tone. So I just had to throw that out there. But yeah, man, I really do think, like, if you told me we signed, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if you told me we signed Wandy Peralta and added a DH, I think that drastically changes the outlook of this team. I really do. Like, it's crazy that two guys can do that, but you get another lefty for the pen to solidify the pen, and you get a legitimate bat to kind of slide behind Pete and lengthen the lineup. Because right now, the lineup, you look at it, it isn't horrible, but it's got some holes, and it's got a lot of guys that you're just kind of hoping for the best with. So yeah, man, if we could get JD or Soler, I'd be all over it. Gio to me is more of a guy to spell Beatty, just in case backup plan. His bat's kind of weak, so I don't think he's going to help the lineup much. But I mean, like you said, we do need a bench, so it couldn't hurt necessarily. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Joey Wendell is their backup for third, and that's what they're going to stick with. But yeah, give me Soler, give me JD all day. I don't see it. I think Vientos is going to be the guy, and we're going to hope that he puts up better numbers than what he's projected, because what he's projected at is basically a Daniel Vogelbach season from last year, and nobody liked that. So I can't imagine they're going to like it coming from Vientos.
Yeah, those projections that came out this past week with what we might see from Mark Vientos, I think it was around like 15 or 16 home runs, and I'm more in the line of maybe like 18 to 21 if he's allowed to play. I mean, he I don't even think he has more than 300 at bats at all. So this guy's going to have to get an opportunity at some point. And why not now, while they're, you know, assessing everything during the 2024 season, then not. But, you know, I would take Jorge Soler. But like you said, Nelson, he's not going to sign for less than what Justin Turner got. And it's going to be multiple years. You look at JD Martinez, who great bat, but like Daniel Vogelback, is a one-trick pony. And I say that not talent-wise and not power-wise. I say that because he's not playing any position on the field. He's strictly going to be a DH on your team. So you have to be careful when it comes to that. I would still take him. But again, he's not going to sign for less than what a Justin Turner makes. And these guys are probably wanting to go and feel more comfortable on a team that is in contention. And that especially goes for JT Martinez, who's getting up there in age and probably wants to win a championship. So I don't see him. Jorge Soler would be the guy, but I don't think that price is going to come down on him. What are your thoughts on this, CP?
Yeah, the price is not coming down. I'm not even entertaining any Jorge Soler talk. I've said it multiple times on the channel. Like I said, the consistency isn't there for him anyways with the injuries, but his power bat would be awesome behind Pete Alonso. It's just not going to happen, especially with what we've seen in the market. But a couple other names that are probably not likely either, because like I said, I think the writing is on the wall, just as it was with the Adam Ottavino reunion, that Mark Vientos is going to be our DH. Adam Duvall still out there, and to David's credit here, Mr. Eddie Rosario is still out there as well.
Although I didn't even think of Eddie Rosario. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice lefty bat.
Go ahead. Someone threw out this real quick. Carlos Santana as well for DH, a cheap option.
Yeah, I mean, I think Carlos Santana, if I'm not mistaken, he's a switch. I think if we do add a bat, it's going to be at being a lefty. I'm not sure if they're completely confident in DJ Stewart with that little spurt that he had at the tail end of 2023. I think that what we see right now in terms of the offensive side of things for the Mets is what we go in with. David also saying our bench mob right now is pretty much set with Tyrone Taylor, Joey Wendell, Omar Narvaez, and DJ Stewart. So I think that's what we're going to have to work with. And like I said, Mark Vientos has projected what he's projected. FanGraphs is underselling him a little bit. All these projections are undersell these players, right? If you look at Mark Vientos's sample size last season in 2023, hitting 9 home runs, I get the average wasn't there. The OPS wasn't there. He's going to do infinitely better with more at-bats. I think he's going to hit north of 20 home runs. I'm projecting him around 22 home runs in comparison to FanGraphs' 15 projected home runs. The OPS probably is going to be somewhere in the 770, 780 range if I had to guess. FanGraphs is projecting him at like mid 740s at 746. So like I said, projections are just projections at the end of the day. Jorge Soler's asking price is not going to come down. JD Martinez, I really think he's probably going to be in line for something similar to what Justin Turner got as well. He's also an all-star for the last three seasons, and that's something that people forget about JD Martinez. He's an all-star the last three seasons. He hit 33 bombs last year for the Dodgers. There's no reason for him to sign on a cheap deal. And if the Mets stick to their plan and all things remain consistent, we're talking about some constraints here in terms of the budget. It just doesn't make much sense. Coupled with the fact that David Stearns has been screaming to us in one way or the other in terms of maybe nonverbal cues of what he's been doing this offseason or direct verbal quotes in that sit-down interview with Andy Martino that these young kids are going to get a chance to play. Now, what I will say about Mark Vientos, even though I think he's going to have a better season than a lot of people give him credit for, I don't think he's a long-term option for this team. Even if he hits well, he is still positionless. And that's where I kind of don't know if Starling Marte can DH down the stretch for the Mets, is that at that point, if we went into this whole mess with this DH by prioritizing Mark Vientos in the start of 2024, it's to get him at bats. So where are you going to put Mark Vientos if Starling Marte DHs? Maybe on the off day, but you'd have to either move him to third base or he's just going to sit down flat on the bench and not get any at bats as Starling Marte DHs. So like I said, there's a whole revolving merry-go-round. If you don't see the common theme here is that this Mets team, there's a whole revolving merry-go-round going on here. And this is such a tough job for David Stearns. But like I said, I think Mark Vientos is a great option. I think he'll overproduce in terms of what he's projected via FanGraphs or any other projections. But what I will say is that if he does overproduce, like we all think that he is, I think Nelson said, I'm not sure what Nelson said or what he's projecting. projected him to be at. But I throw up a little poll on the Interstate Mets X account talking about maybe his home run projections. If he hits better than a lot of people expect him to, him being positionless, I don't see him as a long-term option even still for the New York Mets moving down the stretch. That could boost his trade value, and we can see him in a trade in the 2025 offseason, which would play perfectly into the Mets' laps in terms of getting maybe some rotation help with those uncertainties hitting that offseason. So that's why I think we'll see Mark Vientos. But like I said, maybe they do go sign a bat. Maybe they do surprise us and they come out of left field. Because also, there was a report, I'm not sure if anyone saw it, I think it was Heyman who released it, saying if the Mets did splurge a little bit in any sort of positional category from here to the rest of the offseason, it would be with the bat. It was either Heyman or Martino. I forgot what it was. A lot of conflicting reports here to go off of. But if I had to guess, the writing is on the wall. It's going to be Mark Vientos. Whether you like it or whether you don't, he's a young kid. He's going to get his opportunities, and we'll see what he has. The strikeouts are going to be there. We're going to see Vientos strike out at north of a 30% clip. That is obvious, and that's not going to change. He's a big swing and miss guy, but when he makes contact, you see the baseball savant, that exit velocity, those numbers. I think he's top five in exit velocity, if I'm not mistaken, per the savant page, but someone do go ahead and fact check me on that. The ball goes a long way. We'll see the home runs come, and we just want to see what that average is going to look like, the OPS is going to look like, and we want to see where he's going to slot into this lineup, because I can tell you this, it's not going to be behind Pete Alonso and Carlos Mendoza. Whoever makes these lineups is going to have to get creative with who's protecting Pete, because it can't be Starling Marte in my mind as well. You'll have to either put Francisco Lindor, reshape the order, or maybe our guy Brandon Nimmo with those increased power numbers.
Yeah, and that's something that I, you know, talked about last week, is that Brandon Nimmo is really not your prototypical leadoff guy. You know, really doesn't steal bases. He gets on base, but he has more power now, and I was thinking maybe at some point they move him down the lineup. And you're talking about a lineup that at the moment, it's really top heavy, top four. I'm not even including Starling Marte just yet because we don't know his health. But if Starling Marte is on, you got five there. But besides that, you know, last season, it was basically Death Valley 6-9, and the Mets can't afford to have that with the emergence, especially of Francisco Alvarez, and hopefully his continued, you know, growth. He'll add another bat to the plate, but, you know, 7-9, a little, you know, little suspect as of this point, but we'll see what happens. Now, I currently have this team as currently constructed. I have this team between 79 to 82 wins. As currently constructed right now. And that's, you know, if a lot works out for them. Like, you know, the starting pitching has to be successful for that to work. They got to pitch 5 to 6 innings. You know, these bullpen pieces that we've just plucked out of everywhere, they got to work. And these guys have to score runs. So if they were to get another reliever and a DH, that would increase for me dramatically. But right now I have them between, you know, 79 and, you know, 82 wins at this moment in time. Things could change, and hopefully they do. But, you know, before we wrap up here, once again, make sure to let everyone know, you know, where they can reach you on social media and all your pages, as well as what you're working on next.
Yeah, you can find me at Amish Country Mets Fan here on YouTube. I don't really post on Instagram and TikTok much. That's the same handle, but I need to get better at posting there. I'm even on Facebook under that name. On Twitter, the name was a little too long, or X, whatever you want to call it. So on Twitter or X, it's just Amish Country Met. So there's just that little difference there. But everywhere else, it's Amish Country Mets Fan. I try to drop videos as much as possible. I've been a little less lately because honestly, there's not a lot going on, and it's kind of regurgitating the same topics. So
yeah, absolutely.
As soon as things start to kick up again, there'll be more content. I do plan on dropping something tomorrow. So check it out. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to the channel. It helps out a lot. Drop a like as well. And as well to you fellas as well. So appreciate you having me on it. Always fun to talk baseball with you guys, and look forward to the next one.
Absolutely. It was just following that up, everything that Nelson said. Thank you so much for having us on your platform. You know, even before I started doing this, you were one of the guys I definitely, you know, listened to, especially on Spotify and the stuff that you were dropping too. So got to appreciate you, and you've been doing this a lot longer than me, than at least me. So thank you for having us on here. Subscribe subscribe to the channel, all that good stuff. Hit that thumbs up on everyone's stream. True Mets Talk podcast over on my channel. Interstate Mets going live on Friday. I appreciate everyone in the chat. Ibby, MS here in the chat, David, Tone, everybody. I can go up and down the list. Ted, Patrick, everybody. Thank you for showing out, supporting, commenting, dropping your thoughts and opinions. And like David said, I'm going to try to incorporate a little bit of an open panel on some of our live streams as well. It gets a little, I guess, unusual when you have, I guess, certain characters coming around and someone pops into the stream, but maybe we do an open panel one day throughout the month for people to drop in and drop their thoughts and opinions, because without the support from the listeners, honestly, it wouldn't be as much fun doing this. So shout out everybody, like I said, and hopefully I try to get a Knicks post game in here as well, and talking Knicks and New York sports over on my channel, SCPNY Sports, Instagram, X, and YouTube. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Ann.
Yeah, you guys are busy doing the good deed for the Mets. For me, you can follow on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Subway to Shea. Listen to the Subway to Shea podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Watch on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the follow buttons. Let those notifications hit you for every episode of Subway to Shea. Please rate the show. Leave comments. And if on YouTube, give those thumbs up like CP just did right there. It really helps all of our content. When you like our content, when you leave comments, it helps out the algorithm. It helps people know where to go for their Mets content. So if you enjoy us, if you enjoy other Mets content creator, don't just watch. Make sure you're giving thumbs up and giving your thoughts on it as well, because we really appreciate each and every one of you. And thank you all for tuning in. That wraps it up here for the Subway to Shea podcast. So for Anthony Rivera, you've been watching. And if you're listening on Apple and Spotify, you've been listening to the Subway to Shea podcast. Always remember, let's go Mets.